Everything you know about health is about to change. Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Sometimes people suffer not from lack of faith, but from lack of knowledge. This is the show that changes that. If you are tired of being sick, tired of not getting answers, tired of spinning in circles, then listen closely to the next 30 minutes. For healing is not a mystery. It is a miracle that you were designed to experience. It takes hard work and real knowledge. It takes patience and time. It takes the education this show can provide. So, get it straight today. Here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Welcome to the show. Get straight to the point today. A subject, sooner or later, some of you are most certainly going to come across, and that is the issue of dizziness and vertigo. You know vertigo, where the room spins, and you know dizziness, where it feels like vertigo, but the room doesn't spin. Both of them are alarming. Everyone's had a bout or two in their life. There's solutions. There's even cures. And oddly enough, at the essence of it, the single most effective contribution allopathic medicine has made to the cause of vertigo, to the cure of vertigo, in their opinion, to the relief of it at least, is simply founded in structural medicine, meaning it's something that's been around for hundreds and hundreds of years that modern medicine is just deciding is an effective cure. I want you to get the causes understood. As always, that's going to take some education. And for those of you with hearing issues in general, if you understand this, you're going to understand so much about whatever you're dealing with under the dome of the word hearing and dizziness and vertigo. As always, get to the website. That's straighttalk.cc. I've got great pictures. You always want to see the pictures if you can. Of course, if you're driving, you can't. But that doesn't mean you can't when you get home. So the website is always there for you. My reason for doing this show, the concept from the beginning, 6 years ago, has always been to get you the education. Because in my experience over 20 years, it's the lack of education that costs you more money, more time, more energy, and puts you in that terrible spin cycle that many of you are in, where you've got a problem, you've been to see everybody allopathically, holistically, you're not getting answered, and nobody's really telling you the problem is you got to sit down and really connect and learn. That's what I and why I do this show. Of course, I'm the kind of teacher, I hope I am, that reads and does and combines everything into the essentials for you. And that's what a teacher really is, right? A teacher's not someone that parrots a textbook or buys some nice exotic PowerPoint program and just spews it out during a lecture. A teacher is someone that has the clinical experience, studies everything, and brings the essences together for you to make your life easier. So welcome to the show. All right. Show 333 hours on my website, Dizziness and Vertigo. Causes and solutions. First of all, if you can, look at the anatomy of that ear. What a wild, funky organ. Ears and eyes, so absolutely fascinating. Look at that ear, right? Put the Q-tip in there to clean the ear, and when it can't go any deeper, you're going to stop at what they call the tympanic membrane, right? That's the eardrum. You can burst an eardrum. That means you punch a hole in the tympanic membrane. That's what most of you can understand from largely daily life's experience has taught you there's something called an eardrum and don't burst it from loud rock music or from going in there too deep with a Q-tip. All right. That's what you understand. But on the other side of that so-called tympanic membrane, on the other side of your eardrum is a whole other world. Now, in that whole other world, the inner ear, well, I should say on the other side of that membrane, on the other side of where the Q-tip won't go any deeper, on the other side of the eardrum, to say, are three little bones, the hammer, the anvil, and the stirrup. That's how we grew up learning them, right? Remember that? or the malleus, the incus, and the stapes. These are almost microscopic. They're not, but they're tiny, teeny little bones, the three smallest in your entire body. And we're going to skip those because that's really not the subject of today's show. But after those three little bones, then you get to the true inner ear. Any of you really suffering from vertigo have to see the anatomy of this area. It's absolutely fascinating. It looks like Disney World. Those of you looking at the site right now are smiling or laughing because it really does look like Disney World. And believe me, it's as zany as Disney World. In that inner ear are three what you call semicircular canals. You could make a great amusement park ride. You could make a great roller coaster ride if you just replicated the position of those three semicircular canals. And that's important because those three semicircular canals are going to lead to something called the organ of Corti, which is very important in our discussion here and has a lot to do with your experience of vertigo, your experience of dizziness, so on and so forth. But before we go there, you've got these canals called the semicircular canals. And they all lead to this piece that looks kind of like a snail. It's called the cochlea. Those of you who know people who have gone deaf and need hearing aids, and they get cochlear implants, and hopefully those cochlear implants return their hearing to something in the neighborhood of normal or semi-normal or just good enough so grandpa can hear you over the holidays when you say hello and tell him you love him. Inner ear is the amusement park ride called the semicircular canals combined with the cochlear, which is another twist of tissue that kind of looks like a snail. That's your inner ear. Those are the areas we're talking about, and they all play in different ways to the issue we're talking about today. Whether it's vertigo, first and foremost, dizziness, and very possibly hearing loss. I'm not going to get too much into hearing loss today. That's another cup of tea. Inside those, what we call the cochlear, is something called the organ of Corti. It's called the organ of Corti. Now that's in there deep. And in the organ of Corti, you have a system. I'll make it easy because some of you can't see this. You've got an area where there's a bunch of hairs. So deep in there, I just want you to picture a bunch of hairs that are floating inside a gel. So those hairs floating inside a gel is one of the places you have to imagine in your mind, deep in your ear. Little tiny microscopic kind of hairs. They're actually, they are microscopic. Very, very small. Floating in a gel. And you're going to combine this with your understanding that that area, this organ of Corti where these hairs are connected to the roller coaster ride. Now, it's the combination of both of those things that are going to have a great deal of bearing on what you experience as vertigo. Okay. Enter another concern. Enter calcium carbonate. Now, calcium carbonate is a cheap form of calcium that many of you have learned not to buy because it doesn't absorb through the GI tract. You know, calcium for your bones and health. Take your other forms of calcium, your calcium citrate, your ionized calcium. Don't take your calcium carbonate. Yes, definitely this is the case. However, your body actually makes calcium carbonate and puts it in certain parts of your ear. There's a part of your ear called the utricle. And in the utricle, the body produces calcium carbonate. And that calcium carbonate is a crystal. And if those crystals break off, they travel through the semicircular canal. And as they travel through the semicircular canal, their motion is picked up by little nerve sensors. And when those nerve sensors pick it up, you experience your vertigo. So, let's go back and understand this. Number one, you put a Q-tip in your ear, and where that Q-tip stops is the eardrum or the tympanic membrane. On the other side of that are three little bones. Deep to those three little bones are two areas of our concern. One, the semicircular canals. In those canals, there's fluid. And connected to that is the cochlea of the ear, the true inner ear. And inside the cochlea is something with hairs called the organ of Corti. One form of vertigo occurs because in an area that connects to the circular canals called the utricle, the body makes, and it's supposed to make, calcium carbonate for a variety of reasons. And of course, this is where our job comes in, to take a look at those reasons. For a variety of reasons, either the amount of calcium carbonate or the cohesiveness of the calcium carbonate creates a situation where little crystals of it break off, and those crystals break off, and then they begin to travel through those canals. And as they do, you experience your vertigo. Now, I want you to keep that in mind, because competing with this is the fact that those hairs in the organ of Corti, those hairs have to live in a solution that has the right viscosity, meaning the right amount of thickness. Because as you bend down to pick something up, those hairs go with you. And as you stand back up again, those hairs sway back the other way. One of the reasons you can bend down and pick up a pencil and then stand up and not get vertigo, not get dizzy, not have the room spin, is because those hairs in the right environment, the right viscosity, actually bend either way in the proper degree of form. In other words, they bend one way or the other at the right speed with the right efficiency. And that's very much related to the fact that these hairs are inside some form of a gel. The viscosity of that gel is critical. All right, so we're bringing together concepts. One concept is those calcium carbonate crystals break off and move through the canals. We got to take a look at that. The second piece of it is those hairs may not move correctly because they're in the wrong level of viscosity. The thickness of the gel that those hairs are in is questionable. There's number two. Now, here's a third one. The third one has to do with the fact that those hairs in the organ of Corti, which have so much to do with hearing and so much to do with your sense of where your head is at, they may fall off. As you age, the hairs disappear. That's trigger number three. Three big issues going on in the ear. One, the hairs disappear. Two, the hairs are not in the right viscosity of solution. And three, those calcium carbonate crystals in a foreign part of the ear called the utricle break off, and they shouldn't. We don't want them to break off. They break off in chunks that are too big. And as they travel through the canals, you get the sensation of hearing, of vertigo. Now, all three of these things have to do with when the world spins, why it spins, and whether or not you're going to settle down. And accompanying that, all sorts of problems. It's not just the room spins. You can have nausea. You can even vomit. We have diseases that are linked into this. Meniere's disease. Not just the normal vertigo, the one that most people understand. On to the scene. Maybe I should tell you this later, but I just can't wait. On to the scene as a solution to this is something touted by standard allopathic medicine now for quite a few years that's nothing more than everything I've been saying on this show for years. Nothing more than what everyone's been saying that understands anything about the bones of the ear, the first and second cervical vertebras in the occiput. They call it the Epley maneuver. It's called the Epley maneuver. If you're on the website, straighttalk.cc, get to picture number 23. Get to picture number 24. E-P-L-E-Y, the Epley maneuver. And take a look at what they have you do. You're basically lying on a table. And then you lie back on your back, face up. And you turn your head from one side to the other. I mean, it's so absolutely simple. It's so absolutely simple all over. I mean, look it up yourself. The web is just filled with demonstrations of the Epley maneuver. And this is supposed to be 80% effective. In my personal experience, yes, I have heard many people tell me I had this terrible vertigo and I went to the doctor and they told me how to move my head and miraculously, the week or two of vertigo started to go away. I want to break this maneuver down for you. Because all it really is rotation, extension, and lateral flexion. Something that most people can't do with their necks. So what we're scratching on the surface of here, when we talk about vertigo, and we talk about causes of vertigo, which I'm going to go back to, but when we talk about solutions for vertigo, solutions that don't always work, but largely do work, what you're left with ultimately is simple biomechanics. It's simply about understanding what effective biomechanical function is in the upper cervical spine. And if you forget the Epley maneuver, if you forget about it, if you've never heard about it, if you forget about vertigo, and you simply say to yourself, what do I do as I age to make sure that systems deep, the deep level of what controls your ear and what controls your eye and what controls your brain. How do I, after the age of 50, address all of this by some fundamental understanding? You'll see that the Epley maneuver, so largely touted, is just a meager derivative of much bigger concepts. All right. Yes, the show's technical today, and that's the point. You've got to understand this. So you understand the hookup between the eyes, the ears, the nose, the brain, mental function, cognitive balance, disorders, so on and so forth. Because if you fractionate everything from the neck up into these separate entities, oh, what do I do for my vertigo, the Epley maneuver? Well, what do I do for my macular degeneration? What do I do for my cataracts? What do I do for my declining memory? You'll go crazy. And it would be worth going crazy if, in fact, that's the way you really had to approach it. If you really had to approach vertigo and dizziness and imbalances in the inner ear, from calcium carbonate crystals to the loss of the cilia to the stiffness of the cilia to changes in viscosity of the fluid that the cilia sits in, if you really had to address your health as individual concerns, I'd be teaching you to do it that way. But in case you haven't noticed, God is smart and deeply profound. and the little bit of his profoundness that we can understand has taught us that get to the basic fundamental systems, but not cerebrally. See, I can mention it to you 1,000 times, that you've heard it, that you can identify it, that you think you understand a fundamental system like the suboccipital pump, which we're going to get to, that you've heard me talk about it many times, has nothing to do with whether or not you've learned anything. I'm saying to you that you have to make it functional within your daily experience. Do you understand the power of the show? A lot of you do. Someone said to me the other day, you know, I hear you repeat yourself a lot. Yeah. I was like, really? And I said to them, well, I want to make sure that you're increasingly understanding these concepts with deeper gravity. And I said to the individual, have you ever started to put your neck into these positions, to pull your head in different directions, to start to see and have an experience? No, I just listen to you on the radio. And that's what I'm saying. I do the show for you to begin to investigate it, not to master it, to investigate it in your experience. Because if you do that, I promise you, you'll never find me repeating myself then. Concepts are learned through repetition and application. So what I'm going to get to today is really what the Epley maneuver, what they claim fixes vertigo. I'm going to get to today what the Epley maneuver is just a derivative of. And that takes us back to understanding the cranial bones. Those of you who have the opportunity to be on the website, straighttalk.cc, understand that there's a bone that your ear canal is in. There's a separate bone. If you touch your ear, that ear, not just the fleshy part, but the inner ear where the hole is, as you're going deep, sticking your finger in your ear, you could pull out a whole piece of bone. Your ear is inside one of the bones of your skull. And that bone is called a temporal bone. When you do dissection of cadavers, of the skull, of the brain, you take those bones apart. You separate them all on the table. My teachers used to blindfold us on the day of the exam. Dr. Chavez would say, put a blindfold on, and now I'm going to give you the bones, and you have to touch the bone and tell me what that bone is. He was a master. His name was Francisco Chavez. He took his MD in Mexico, and he took his PhD in anatomy at UCLA. And he ran dissection lab in my chiropractic school years ago. And he was a master of anatomy. He loved to dissect. And we were like two peas in a pod. We were like brothers. I had a lot of fun there because of him. And he would give me the keys to the lab, and I could go in there morning, noon, and night, any day, any time I wanted to, and I did. So you get this understanding of what you call the brain and the ears and the eyes as simply sensitive nerve tissue encased in organ, encased in bone that isn't one solid piece. It's a bunch of individual pieces, and all these pieces move. Much of what goes wrong with the inner ear occurs when the temporal bone doesn't move in relationship to the rest of the bones of the skull. Few people have an appreciation of that statement. For instance, I'll give you an application of what I'm talking about. If you walk into a doctor with an issue in the ear, it doesn't matter what it is, you can't hear, bad vertigo, you walk into a doctor, one of the questions he must ask you is, do you clench your teeth at night? You Yeah, we don't make this relationship. Out there in the hood, meaning at the coffee tables that doctors exchange notes at on their own, in their off time, the relationship between dysfunction in the inner ear and clenching, well, it's understood there, especially with the orthodontists. Guys that work with clenching understand that clenchers mess up their ear. That's obvious if you understand the anatomy. Now, why? Well, the jaw, at the end of the jaw where it approaches the ear, is a piece called the coronoid process. It's a piece of the anatomy of the mandible, and it fits into this hole in the temporal bone. The jaw controls the temporal bone of the ear. It controls the motion of that bone. And the motion of that bone controls a lot of what goes on in the inner ear. I don't care what you're talking about. Nerve flow to the inner ear? Calcium carbonate crystals moving? Calcium carbonate crystals breaking off? Otosclerosis, meaning the addition of bone, like arthritis. Arthritis in the ear. If you have arthritis, you're growing extra bone. It's the wrong bone, but you're growing it. If you grow extra bone on the inner ear, the malleus, incus, and stapes begin to fuse and you go deaf. Beethoven's problem, no doubt. So to understand basically that if you clench, you're driving that spike of the mandible, the coronoid process, into the temporal bone and you're shutting down its motion. Look at that. I mean, look at that. Out there in the clinical trenches, you see this. You see people who clench develop ear problems. Clenching is huge. But this is a side note. The keynote is to understand that you have to keep the temporal bone moving. And if you don't, the constituents of those fluids and the precipitates of those fluids all begin to run amok. Now, out there in clinician's land, when you look at people with problems, you will notice people who have these types of issues are heavily fixated in the upper cervical spine. It's like their head is glued to their neck and nothing moves. Are you like that? But you wouldn't know it if you were. You see, this is the educational piece. There's a fluidity that has to occur between the bone in the back of your head, the first and second cervical vertebra, and the temporomandibular joint, the TMJ joint, and the occiput C1 and C2 interspace have to regularly be decompressed, be stretched, be mobilized, so they move as independent pieces. Without that, you're never going to get flow into your temporal bone. Good for you if you can follow my show today. Those of you who have suffered, who do suffer, dizziness, the room is spinning, you've had some diagnosis of benign vertigo and it's not working for you, you're going deaf, I can even throw in the eye. Look at this. I want you to consider this. I want you to consider that if I make the claim that structural defects, structural imbalances, lack of fluidity between little bits and pieces around critical organ systems, that the lack of fluidity there will create problems. I want you to consider that against the fact that the Epley maneuver is simply a meager, minor structural exercise, and it's being touted as really the cure for BBPV. Big word for the room spins. So this is no news to the structuralists. But it, for whatever reason, is counterintuitive. Meaning, you don't walk around with vertigo and think, gee, I got to figure out how to stretch out my neck. But you do, and that's why this Epley maneuver is so popular. These are the reasons. I'm explaining to you the reasons. If you look at the back of your head, I put a picture there, picture 21. If you look at the back of your head on the website, you've got very, very thick layers of muscles. Your average male, female, and you've got to strip away all of those labs. You've got the back to the trapezius. You've got the sternocleidomastoid, the semispinalis capitis. You've got this thick layer of muscle in the back of your neck mixed in with tight fibrous fascia. Then you've got all your posterior cervical muscles that are derivatives of the erectors. You've got to cut it all away before you get to the deep suboccipital muscles. Until you can get to the deep suboccipital muscles, you can't really get anywhere with the isolations that are supposed to occur to affect the inner ear. I put this on pictures. Get to the site, straighttalk.cc. Look at the pictures. If you can't do it now, do it later. If you go to the suboccipital, if you take your hands and you put your hands on the back of your neck, understand that way deep, underneath layers of thick muscle, are a bunch of tiny little muscles. And those tiny little muscles that we call in anatomy the suboccipital triangle, they control motion between the occipital bone of the skull and the first and the second vertebra. And if you can't isolate into those muscles and stretch those muscles, you cannot loosen those bones. And if you can't loosen the bones in the occiput C1 and C2, if you can't decompress the temporomandibular joint by stretching it, then those bones lock as one fibrotic piece and your temporal bone cannot move. And, of course, the converse is true. If you can isolate, if you understand that the fluidity of these areas is sacrosanct, it is sacred, it is basic, it is fundamental to your health, then you're going to keep flow into the inner ear. Now, weigh that statement against Dr. The Room Spins. Yeah, lie down on a table, turn your head to the right, turn your head to the left. And if you do that a few minutes, two or three times a day, your vertigo is going to go away. Think of the difference. Another example of how fundamentals are key. It is not about the Epley maneuver. It is about really and truly understanding what the fundamental dynamics of what controls the ear are all about. Let me give you another one. If you go into the inner ear and you look at those hairs, as you age, those hairs fall off. As those hairs fall off, you lose your hearing. Whether or not those hairs fall off is a function of the hormonal health of the body. It is a function of the structural health of the body. Not holding things, not holding your blood in your vessels, not holding the tone of your skin, not holding the hair on your body, not holding the hairs on your inner ear are a function of the kidney. Did you know that? Are we going to debate the virtues and wisdom of Chinese medicine? Are we going to do that? We're not going to do that. Let the naysayers, let those who insist on remaining ignorant, do that. But you're not going to do that. You're going to understand that from the standpoint of empiricism, which means we see it, we observe it, we postulate, we do something about it, and statistically, we get results based on our suppositions, and we forget about the double-blind placebo studies, which no one's going to pay us to do because we're too busy doing it. There's a mouthful for you. You think science is so objective. You have no idea, my friends. You have no idea. Science has to evolve, and in its evolution, half of its evolution hedges on the biasness of the resistance to new creative ideas. So how can we call it objective? It is so politically motivated, science. Scientists will tell you that. Scientists will tell you that. The history of science, the historians in science. So I'm going to tell you something right now. Your what you call kidney energy has a lot to do with whether or not the cilia of the inner ear stay where the cilia is supposed to be as opposed to falling off. That cilia is related to the kidney. In Chinese medicine, the kidney is the ear. The liver is the eye. Yes, liver issues create inflammatory conditions in the liver that will detach the retina. Liver fire and retinal problems of the eye are the same issue in Chinese medicine. It's the same thing in the ear in Chinese medicine. The kidney is the ear, and what it means, if you are living in a hormonally depleted state, if the neuroendocrine system, we did a show on that last week, on the fundamentals of the neuroendocrine system, not on what herb to take to balance your adrenals. If you get exhausted, if you live exhausted, if you live with your reserve burned out to the point where you can't even summon up the minimal amount of hormonal strength, at the minimal stage, things are going to drop. Not just your skin. Things that are holding your blood vessels hold blood. There's your tear. There's the valve in the heart that leaks. There's the skin that sags. And so on and so forth. And one of the things a strong neuroendocrine system will do is hold the hairs of the inner ear. Now, we can observe that. Listen, you want to know the truth? Here's one that will blow your mind. In Chinese medicine, as women bleed too much, in Chinese medicine, as men ejaculate, men who lose too much sperm, women who lose too much blood will lose jing, jing. That's their basic fundamental hormonal power. And you can see men's hearing begin to deteriorate proportional to the loss of seminal fluid after the age of 50. If you're good at it, you can talk to a male who, for whatever reason, over a weekend or a vacation or whatever, loses more fluid, has more sex with his wife. And if you're sensitive to it, you can link it to more problematic areas in the ear. You can link it to bigger problems in the knees. You can link it to more low back issues. There's the wisdom of Chinese medicine. It's going to make hookups between organs and systems, and one of them is the kidney, is the ear. And the holding power that comes to those cilia is proportional to the integrity of the neuroendocrine system. So, let's go into the organ of Corti Let's look at those cilia. Let's understand that one of the issues around the cilia of the ear is that the cilia falls off. And let's understand that as you deplete through the neuroendocrine system, the cilia fall off and you go deaf. That's big. It's not little, it's big. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. We're talking about dizziness and vertigo. We're going to get to dizziness, hopefully. We're talking about causes, the real causes. I can only talk real cause. I can't talk any other way. I can only understand the human body on the basis of the primordial physiological systems that you can do so much to prime and keep optimal in the name of radiant health. The rest of it, good luck with. You got to go deep. You got to push your level of consciousness. And that's what you understand. Those of you who listen to the show, you understand the other people in your family may not have a consciousness. They just don't sit there at Thanksgiving dinner and say, well, pardon me, I disagree with the way you approach your health. And it's a free country, and I just simply approach mine differently. It's nearly not like that. I really want to say this to you. It's really not like that. It's about you have a more evolved consciousness. And in that your consciousness has a higher degree of sophistication, you can embrace deeper and more dynamic causes. There's a huge difference between somebody that says, my hearing's going, I'm getting dizzier, or the room spins more than ever, and it must be related to the fact that I'm locked up in the neck, and I need to know most fundamentally what to do about it. There's a big difference between somebody that does that and somebody that just goes and runs to their doctor and asks for some drops. Those are two different people. You really have to honor yourself here. You really have to honor yourself. I mean this. Whether you're online in the bank, whether you're filling out your tax forms, whether you're having Thanksgiving dinner, you have to honor yourself because you think more deeply. Now, you know the purpose of the show. I want you to think deeper than that. So, stick your finger in your ear. On the other side is the middle ear. Deep to that is the inner ear. Whether you have calcium carbonate crystals floating through the semicircular canals, or whether you have hair loss in the cilia, there are solutions. The hair loss in the cilia reflects the integrity of the neuroendocrine system. The calcium carbonate issue. Allopathy lauds the Epley maneuver, which I'm explaining to you, is simply a minor derivative of the fact that the occiput C1 and C2 over time must be trained to stay fluid. Your job is to make those places fluid. Now, let me get to another angle on this. Another angle on the inner ear. Again, if you can get to the website, please do. StraightTalk.cc. If you're driving and this show catches you, as it well should, when you go home, get to the website so you can see the pictures. I want you to understand that the cilia of the ear, in the organ of corti, which has so much to do with your sense of equilibrium, meaning if you don't have those hairs moving in the right way, you're going to have vertigo. And my point to you is that there's a viscosity or a thickness of fluid around those hairs. So we're not discussing whether the hairs fall off. We're discussing whether or not the hairs sway in the fluid correctly. When you bend down, those hairs sway. When you stand up, they sway. They're kind of like moving in the breeze, except it's not the breeze of the air. It's the breeze imposed by the fluid. That fluid has a thickness. You people who are mucus producing, mucus producers, people who are mucusy, people who stick their tongue out and the tongue has a thick coat of damp yellow curd on it. People who are what, again, we call damp in the ear. Damp in the ear. It's an invasion of dampness in the ear, brought about by the production of too much mucus, brought about by the production of too much congestion, brought about by, well, maybe the lymph don't drain. Maybe you don't have any drainage because there's no motion between the body segments. Or maybe the diet's so bad that it's creating irritation. Maybe you're running so acidic that the irritation due to a more acidic intercellular fluid is creating the necessity of producing mucus to buffer acidity. Mucus buffers acidity. Well, I should say mucus protects against acidity. That's a better way to say it. Oh, we see this in the stomach. Oh, we can apply it to the ear. We can apply it anywhere. But you really see it in the stomach. Mucus buffers, I shouldn't say buffer, mucus protects tissues against acidity. That's why the pH of the gastric fluid in the stomach, which is only 0.9, doesn't burn a hole in the lining of the stomach. The acidity of the stomach is enough to melt right through iron. That doesn't happen to you because inside your stomach are mucus cells, and those cells produce a very protective coating inside the stomach to protect it from the acidity. So you can make your HCl, you can drop the pH of the stomach to 1 to 2, and yet you don't burn a hole in your stomach. Mucus protects against acidity. Suppose you turn, because your diet's lousy, because you're running your blood sugar high, because you have infection, because you're under great psychological stress, great structural stress because you're clenching all the time, because you're upset about the way your life is. Suppose you're doing all of this, your body's going to produce more mucus. You're going to see that on the tongue. You're going to stick your tongue out, and that tongue's going to be damp yellow. It's going to have like a coat, a greasy yellow coat on it. Apply that greasy yellow coat to the ear. Think of those hairs of the inner ear. Think of the cilia. Do not doubt me. Do not doubt that the viscosity, the thickness of the fluids throughout the whole body change. But let's just take a look at the viscosity of the fluid in the ear. Let's forget about the joints. Astounding thing is, this has already been figured out. Damp heat in the inner ear is exactly what I'm talking about. Damp heat plus an external wind invasion. Oh, yeah. You ever go out in the wind? You ever go sailboating for an afternoon? And the next morning, it's the vertigo of your life. Some of you listening have had this experience. You're predisposed, number one. Number two, the addition of the wind to the damp heat creates an invasion into the ear that will give you vertigo from, wow. Infection gives people vertigo. What's infection doing? Infection's creating a massive inflammatory rage, not just into the ear, into all the areas that particular virus may attack. And we see this. And different dimensions of medicine understand it. So we have to bring the word viscosity to the ear. If we want to understand vertigo, we have to understand structural issues. If we want to understand vertigo, we have to understand the neuroendocrine system. If we want to understand vertigo, we have to understand viscosity, the thickening. Just as you thicken in your entire body from sludge that you can see on the tongue, so do you thicken the fluids in the ear that control the sway of the cilia. Look at that. Drain the damp heat out of the ear, we say. Cut off the external wind invasion. Move the occiput C1, C2. Decompress the temporomandibular joint. Do you hear? Can you take this information in more deeply? Do you know truth when you hear it? You're driving. Go home. Get on the website, straighttalk.cc, not .com, with two T's. If you suffer from any of this, understand what I'm saying to you and begin your inquiry. This isn't necessarily the show that cures it. It doesn't cure anything. It asks you to listen with your soul, and then it compels you to follow it up with your analytic mind. Study. Take a little time. I'm the teacher that combines the essences in a way nobody can. And if you'll take that in, you will begin the journey. 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. Those of you who may desire a little help along the way, that's my office number. Do it now. Give us a call and get some tailored counsel. As long as you're open and ready to engage, you'll change things. But you have to apply the principles. I'm not the quick fix guy. I wouldn't need to do this show if I was. I'm the guy that builds it from the ground up, because that's how you get it done. And those of you who have spun and spun and spun, I don't care, allopathically or holistically, it's because you didn't build it from the ground up. You need to take that into yourself. All right, now let's get to dizziness. Number one, are you anemic? Ladies, if you tend to get dizzy and lightheaded around loss of blood, there's your hint. That's a big one. Anemia and dizziness, huge. Loss of blood and dizziness. That's a big one. Here's another one. Loss of adrenaline if your adrenaline is low. You know what happens when your adrenaline is low? You can't hold your blood pressure. If your adrenals are low and you're lying down and you stand up, when you stand up, if you have the adrenal power, you will increase the blood pressure to the brain. You're supposed to. I mean, blood to the brain, if you're lying down, it gets there easy, right? Heart pumps, you're horizontal. Doesn't have to work too hard. But if you're lying down, when you stand up, that brain's not waiting for blood. That ear is not waiting for blood. Your ear will not wait for blood when you go from lying down to standing up. If you're lying down and you stand up fast, that ear is not waiting for the blood. It wants it now. And the only way the body can do that is to spike the blood pressure to get it there as fast as your ear needs it. Guess what? You're not sleeping. Too much stress. Your adrenals are exhausted. You weren't born with strong adrenals. Any of all the things that create adrenal fatigue will not allow the blood pressure to compensate you when you go from lying to standing, and you'll get dizzy. Now, come on, that's fascinating. That's fascinating. Isn't that fascinating? You got to love the human body. I do. It never fails me. Medicine never fails me. No matter how bad it might be, medicine doesn't fail me. It will keep you fascinated. It'll keep you fascinated endlessly. And the fascination just grows. This body's your temple. So, dizziness. Are you anemic? Loss of blood will create dizziness. Two, are you adrenally insufficient? Number three, dizziness can have a lot to do with nerve compression also. But it's the nerve compression that comes from the vagus nerve. Now, it's not that the vagus nerve, wires itself into the ear. It's that the vagus nerve controls the vasodilatory aspect of the human body. In other words, the vagus nerve, I'll give you an example. Those people with glaucoma, just catch this example. My staff just told me it's time. How did it get to be so fast? I think we've got a few seconds. Once the vagus nerve loses its integrity, you cannot vasoconstrict and vasodilate the body parts that relate to the ear. So a sympathetic dominant individual is also going to get dizzy because so much of the mechanics of the ear is controlled by the ability of systems to shut off versus turn on. There's your dizziness. There's your vertigo. There's your show. There are your fundamentals. 714-850-1007. There's your phone number. I don't know how the time just goes so darn fast. We'll see you next week.
Okay, that's a wrap. Don't forget to get to Dr. Medici's website at drmedici.com to look at the pictures and review the show as often as you wish. See you next week.